This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. And with the first official week of summer underway, of course, we want to talk about lakes on issues of the environment. There are more people than you know working to ensure the health of the lakes in our area. There are a good number of Huron River Watershed Council volunteers monitoring and testing the waters through its Adopt a Stream program. And now there's been expansion of the statewide Cooperative Lakes Monitoring Program. 15 lakes in the Huron River watershed have been added to the monitoring program, bringing the total to 24. They give the collected data to experts for analysis on a variety of potential threats, who in turn can develop action plans to ensure the health and quality of the waters. My guest today is one of those experts. Paul Steen is a watershed ecologist for the Huron River Watershed Council and is program manager for the Michigan Clean Water Corps. And thanks so much for the time today, Paul. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I'm happy to be here.
Well, last summer, the Cooperative Lakes Monitoring Program volunteers dove into the conditions of those 24 lakes I mentioned in the Huron River watershed. That means 15 new and different lakes were added to the monitor list in 2018. How did that kind of expansion come about and come about so quickly?
Well, it was fully due to a partnership with the Oakland County Board of Commissioners. In Oakland County in particular, they have so many lakes that were not getting proper attention. So they partnered with us to provide the funding and made that happen, paid for the equipment and the training. Then, of course, the volunteers themselves provide the labor and all of the willpower and effort that's needed.
Collaboration is key, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Well, in looking at the health of the lakes, what exactly are the volunteers looking for when they dive in?
A couple things in particular. They're looking at the trophic status of a lake, which refers to basically the amount of nutrients in a lake, and that's done through monitoring transparency and monitoring phosphorus and chlorophyll. And the volunteers are also looking at what aquatic plants are in their lake. As we all know, some aquatic plants should not be in our lakes because they are invasive and can take over. So we want them to find those plants before things get really bad.
So that brings us to the issue of training, because I could go in and to me, sometimes a plant just looks like a plant. I may not be able to properly identify. So what is the training process so that the volunteers know exactly what they're looking at and then how best to report it?
Well, it's a twofold training process. There is a in-class portion where we show lots of pictures over and over and over again. But then probably more powerful in terms of training is we send someone out to these lakes to actively work with the volunteers, at least for a couple hours, so that they together can pull the plants out of the lake, lay them out flat, and, you know, get a good look at them. And then the trainer just shows them right there.
So now they've collected the information, and they put it in your hands. What do you do with it?
Well, we're keeping lists of where the plants are found, so we know where the problems are. But ultimately, it comes back to the volunteers. Our job in this program is to empower them, to show them how to collect the data. But when it comes to the actual management, it really does fall back to the residents on the lake. And it goes back to their lake associations, and now they have the data, so they're able to perhaps hire a company that can help them remove these plants, or sometimes they just keep on monitoring.
Issues of the environment in our conversation with Paul Steen continues on 89.1 WEMU. Paul is a watershed ecologist for the Huron River Watershed Council. As you well know, each lake has its own characteristics, different depths, different clarity. Do those characteristics kind of alter exactly what you're monitoring for?
Well, it certainly affects what is found. We're still going to look for the same type of plants no matter what. There's about 3 plants that are particularly common in Michigan lakes that shouldn't be here. There's the water milfoil, there's the curly leaf pondweed, and then just becoming really bad recently, it's the starry stonewort. And no matter what type of lake you have, we're going to look for those. Shallow lakes will typically have more of these plants. But no matter what type of lake, you're still going through the same process.
So what did we learn from the 2018 survey of the 24 lakes in the program?
Well, we know that this starry stonewort, which came about probably about 15 years ago in small numbers, is just growing, spreading in an alarming rate. We had about 50% of the people we went out with said they had no idea that starry stonewort was in their lake. but they were finding it. And that's concerning because this plant can take over lakes, especially shallow ones. It goes from the bottom to the top and, you know, makes boating really impossible when it gets in high enough abundance.
Does it alter habitat?
Yeah, it reduces habitat for fish and for the benthic, the insects that are on the bottom of the lake. We have seen some fish get so desperate to make a nest that they'll actually put their nest right on top of these plants. So that just lowers their ability to reproduce effectively.
So again, you say you work with these lake associations and area residents, you conduct education campaigns, and you can advise on what to do about it. But if those associations and area residents decide not to do something about it, what happens?
Really nothing. The state doesn't have the funding to do treatment themselves in all the 10,000 lakes. Usually local municipalities, unless they have waterfront property on that lake, will not take action either. So it really gets put to the local citizens to take action.
Typically, those who have made such great financial investments in lakefront properties are invested in maintaining the quality of the lakes, if for no other reason than property values. Have you found that to be the case more often than not?
It's true. There's been an established link between property values and the water quality mm-hmm. on a lake. There's studies that have shown that. And when I talk to volunteers, that is definitely on their mind. But, you know, it's more than money. It's also their way of life.
Once again, you're listening to 89.1 WEMU, and we're talking with Huron River Watershed Council Ecologist Paul Steen on issues of the environment. Now, I assume the volunteers began hitting the waters again this spring, right?
They did, yep. The program starts in May and then goes all the way through September.
So are they looking for different things in the early spring as they are in the late summer months when the conditions have changed?
That is absolutely true, that conditions change. They really don't get into plant monitoring till, I'd say right about now,
okay.
Going through July and August. Early season, they're looking a lot more at water transparency, phosphorus levels, some of those things that they monitor throughout the entire summer.
So as we once again take a look at and consider the Cooperative Lakes Monitoring Program, we expanded last year from 9 to 24 lakes in the Huron River watershed. Will there be further expansion moving forward?
That's one of my jobs. I'm always trying to reach out to new lakes and get people interested. You know, usually once people hear about the program, they see the value in it. They realize that getting that baseline data is key for making management decisions. It's not too hard to convince people to join. It's just a matter of having them learn about it in the first place.
So based on the knowledge that you've collected to this point and that we have today, can you give an assessment of the overall health and water quality in the lakes that are being surveyed right now?
Yes, I do feel that over time, now the program's existed since 1974, mm-hmm. so we have a lot of water quality data. Over time in Michigan, we have seen water quality improve, certainly. There's less phosphorus, there's less chlorophyll, tend to be more clear. But, you know, in that time frame, that's when all these invasive species have come in. So, while waters might be more clear, they're also holding a lot more plants that shouldn't be there.
Based on the same assessment of data, are you optimistic it gets better from here on out, or are we going to face more hardship and challenges moving forward?
I am optimistic when it comes to nutrient levels because there is so much education out there right now. When it comes to plants, awareness is growing.
But so are the plants.
Now, yeah, it's so are the plants. Now, I believe it's a civil infraction to transport plants, so there's been more of an effort put on getting boaters to check their boats and check their trailers prior to putting in, because that's usually where most of the problems come from, is when people don't do that.
Well, it sounds like a lot of work and good work has been done to this point, and there's a lot of work that lay ahead, but the plan is in place to make sure the good work continues.
That's right. And I think we'll make progress going to the future. There's always your risk that next invasive species is around the corner, so we have to stay vigilant.
Well, keep us up to speed, and for whatever we can do to spread the word, we will continue doing so.
All right. Thank you very much.
That is Paul Steen, watershed ecologist for the Huron River Watershed Council and program manager for the Michigan Clean Water Corps. Issues of the Environment is produced in partnership with the Office of the Washtenaw County Water Resources Commissioner, and it's Heard Each Wednesday. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.